I'm Joseph.
And I'm Nick.
And this is Fish Jelly. Yeah. How are you?
My brain is mud, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome back.
Yes. Fresh off the plane, really, kind of.
Fresh out of my body and onto your plate. Yeah.
Yep. Chicken lady. Kids in the hall.
So we'll make a video of your best and worst from Venice. Uh-huh. But is there anything you'd like to say before we move on?
Boy, I'm tired of being on boats. Oh my God.
Because you have, where you're staying is not on the little island where the film festival is.
Yeah, I don't stand the Lido. I stand the mainland. And I'm tired of boats. Well, tired of boats, tired of people, tired of tourists.
No.
Tired of lines. That's the only place in the world I've ever been where the line to get in the men's restroom is exponentially worse.
Why? Because there are more men?
I think there are probably more men in the press or who have press passes.
And IBS?
And, well, no, it's the facilities, strangely, at these magnificent theaters where these world premieres happen that don't seem to be equipped, you know, 1,000-seat theaters don't seem to be equipped to hold more than like 3 people trying to pee at one time.
The theaters are nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I haven't looked at pictures of them.
Well, all that red carpet stuff from the film festival, like I see things in there that in the grand.
Hmm. Well, we're glad to have you back. The cat just walked in.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to grab her? Oh, there we go.
Snatch this
wretched animal up.
You know, wretched.
Do you know anything about Danny Masterson?
Well, other than that, I didn't like the 70s show, that 70s show before I knew he was a rapist. But I saw that he was sentenced to, 30 years and blew his wife a kiss.
Oh.
Bijou.
Did she catch it and put it in her pocket? Because yeah. That would have been fierce. I don't know anything about him. I didn't watch the 70s show. I recognize his face when I look him up. I didn't know he was a Scientologist. I didn't know he was in trouble or on trial. I was trying to read about the trial, and I didn't quite understand the specifics, but because there was like a mistrial.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
And yeah, and the crimes he was charged with occurred like over 20 years ago. So I was actually kind of interested in how that worked. Like what kind of evidence was there to convict him? But yeah, he got 30 years to life. So that's that.
Yeah, bye.
Moving on to restaurants. My mom and I went to a place called Tu Madre. They're a chain. And we went to the one in Los Feliz. And we got there. So we were originally going to go to that one restaurant in Los Feliz, like the Alcove, the place we've been a few times.
Yeah, that we like.
Mm-hmm. But it was packed. And then I thought, well, let's go to the restaurant home. But they were even more busy. And I should have known.
Was this on the weekend?
It was on Labor Day.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I should have known that the restaurant in between two busy restaurants not being busy should have been a sign.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, oh, this one's not busy. Let's go. And so the food was actually tasty, but the service was terrible. And I did something I haven't done before, but so we sat there for like 15 minutes waiting for someone to greet us.
Uh-huh.
And then this little girl walks up and says, well, did you order yet? No. Well, you can just scan the QR code. And I'm like, okay, so we've sat here for 15 minutes without menus. And now you want me to scan this QR? Like, can you just take my order or give me a menu at this point? But whatever. So we order, and the total was $100.
Damn.
Before the tip. So
what'd y'all get for $100?
Well, we were like, let's get we got two flights.
Oh, it was your drunk dinner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it was actually early lunch.
It was your drunch.
It was my drunch. It was an early drunch. But you have to tip on the thing.
Do you?
Well, so this is the first time I've done this. I put zero, and in the comments, I wrote, I'll tip when I receive my service.
Ooh, that actually is not the first time you've not left a tip.
It's not the first time I haven't left a tip, but it's the first time I've not left a tip, like how they make you order beforehand. How am I supposed to tip on service I haven't received
yet? Oh, sure, yeah. Well, that's the norm now.
But normally I do, because it's like awkward to not, and that's the norm. But this time around, because the service was already horrible, mm-hmm. I thought, let me wait till I give this $20. The service was horrible. Mm-hmm. And then, so the food was good. We were a little tipsy off those flights. We ordered, like the food we ate was good. We ordered some red velvet churros, and they came with like this cream cheese dip that was really good. But we ordered, and then we waited for like 15 minutes before our drinks came out. Mm-hmm. So at that time, another couple had sat next to us, and I noticed them because the woman, it was a man and a woman. The woman was beautiful. So I like, she caught my attention, and I knew when they sat down. So we get our drinks 15 minutes after we order them. And that's when the couple had sat down. So they, you know, so 15 minutes in, we get our drinks. They're still sitting there. No one has approached them. They're looking antsy. Then it takes another 15 minutes to get our food. So now we've been there for 45 minutes, and we've mm-hmm. just received our food. The couple next to us has been there for 30 minutes. And when the gentleman brings out our food, they snatch him like, hey, is someone going to take our order? And he says, well, you do it on the app or on the QR code. So then we take our time, because, you know, my mom eats slowly and she drinks slowly, but we had to finish those 8 drinks. So we were there like an additional hour. Mm-hmm. And do you know, when we got up to leave, those people had not received their food yet. So that means that they sat there for an hour and a half, and all they had were chips and salsa at the table.
Damn.
Keeping in mind that my mom had asked for 3 things, mm-hmm. and they never brought them.
Oh.
She asked for more chips. She asked for like napkins, mm-hmm. and then water. And they never.
Wow.
And then I asked for a to-go box, and they didn't give it to me. So I had to actually take the wrapping that was on the churros to wrap my leftover burrito in and just carry it in my hand, because I couldn't wait any longer. But yeah, then I didn't give a tip, because they were arguing, like the staff was arguing with people waiting in line to be seated, saying they were like busy, and it was just a really weird.
So guess who's never going there again?
Well, it's a shame, because I actually would go, because I did like my food, but yeah.
Well, I mean.
Anyway.
C'est la vie.
That was a long story. Moving on to movies we watch for fun. You watched Gattaca?
Yeah, well, because the only movies I had time to watch for fun were on the flight home from Munich.
That's the 1997 film.
Yeah, by Alex.
Andrew Niccol.
Oh, sorry, Andrew Niccol. Yeah, his first big film. You saw his film In Time with Olivia Wilde and Amanda Seyfried and Justin Timberlake, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember very well renting this on VHS in 1997 with my friend from high school and watching it at his parents' house. I think this is where Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke met.
They're married?
They were.
Don't
you remember that scandal? He cheated on her with a babysitter?
Hell no.
Or was that Jude Law? He did something funny.
Or no, if that's Jude Law, it's also Gwen Stefani's ex, Gavin Rossdale. Yeah, also did.
They were all doing that.
And didn't Ben Affleck do that?
Yeah,
you can't trust these men out here.
I know that's right.
Anyway, Gattaca.
Gattaca. It was interesting. It was fun to rewatch. I liked the look of the film. Yeah. And I think I remember in the 90s feeling like Ethan Hawke looked like a little rat. But looking back, he was handsome. Yeah, he still is. I think he's aged well, actually.
He's rodent-ish, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think age served. You know what? I think I didn't like it in the late 90s because I didn't remember Mark McGrath.
Yes,
what was that?
Third Eye. No.
Fucking band. Sugar Ray or something.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Every morning when I just didn't like that song.
Because Mark McGrath hosted like a show for a long time, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ethan Hawke reminded me of Mark McGrath back then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like everyone has asked us to review Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. People keep asking, why didn't we review it?
Well, this is the 2018 film. This is the first one.
Oh.
The one that was released this year is Across the Multiverse.
Oh, okay. Let me shut up. Anyway, did you like this movie?
Okay, so I had high expectations based on the raves everybody talks about. It was just okay. It was a little too for that fan base, I think. Despite some interesting voice work with Shameik Moore and Mahershala Ali and Lily Tomlin and Nicolas Cage, and I think I'm already just I'm tired of the multiverse. I'm tired of it. Tired of it. It's fine. It was okay. I think that there's some inventive, interesting things in the animation, the story. I can give a damn. I don't need to see any more iterations of Peter Parker. Thank you.
Well, you heard it here.
But yeah, I will watch the new one that came out this year. It's fine. I don't know. It didn't. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood, but it was not. I think I'm just tired of these kinds of stories.
The kitty, mama.
So is the cat.
Yeah, she's tired. Speaking to the microphone, girl.
Tired.
Shout out to Kelly Price. Anyway, you finally watched The Little Mermaid, the 2022
version. Yeah, this is a perfect airplane film.
What did you think of The Little Mermaid?
Halle Bailey is beautiful, and the singing voice is on point. However, this felt... I think there are a couple songs that aren't in the original cartoon, the animated film, that were just dull. Like, I don't remember Prince Eric getting a song. I didn't need that. He could have been their theme song should have been that Robin Royksopp song. I'm in love with a robot, because Eric was boring as hell. No yeah. Chemistry. The story, it feels clearly like a carbon copy of the animated film. If you're gonna do this, like make something pop. I don't know, and it can't just be Awkwafina as the
I forgot about her
as the
fish or whatever.
No,
the crab.
No, she's the bird.
She's the dumb bird.
But I mean, Ursula, you know, you can see Melissa McCarthy trying to imitate the voice. I think she looks real whack. I don't know.
I mean, I think most people thought that, like, why didn't she, I mean, her makeup looks very like someone went to Party City and bought a palette and did the makeup 10 minutes before they left to the party.
She looks like she's working at a Regis Hairstyles in the mall somewhere.
Oh, God.
That's what she's giving. I don't know.
Oh, Regis. When I lived in Alabama, the one friend I had, I met at Regis.
Yeah, my mom used to bring me to the mall to get my hair cut, and we had a lady that cut my hair that looked kind of like that.
Lastly, for some reason, I decided to rewatch The Human Centipede 3.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either. I think in my mind, I thought, oh, it can't be that bad, as I remember. But it really
is. It's probably worse, yeah.
It's worse than I remember. The premise is ridiculous, and they're referencing the first two films in this film.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's about a prison that's like having financial problems, and the warden and his assistant, the assistant saying like, you know, we can do something like we can make a movie like the Human Centipede movies and make a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. But the main guy, I thought, the warden, the German guy, I realized halfway through who he reminds me of. He reminds me of an unfunny German John Witherspoon. Because he's shouting everything. Mm-hmm. And even at one point he goes bang, 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 just like John Witherspoon. Uh-huh. I feel like he's almost doing, I should probably research this, but I wonder if like that was the inspiration for his character.
Is it worth the time to research? Is it worth
it? No, I mean, and then it's so like over the top, like trying to be extreme that
yes,
it's just.
And what's that filmmaker's name? Tom Six.
I think he's in the film. He's in a very ill-fitting linen suit.
Dutch, I think. You know, he did a film after he wrapped his trilogy that was on John Waters' best of list. Was it last year? And I believe it will be remain an unreleased film. I don't know what film festival he saw it at, but apparently it's some equally strange, vulgar film featuring lesbians masturbating. That's all I remember reading about it. But
yeah, I can't recommend any of those films, really.
No, I remember when I think we were just fresh in LA when the second one came out, going to a midnight screening at the New Art.
Yeah, I don't remember.
We brought a friend. We brought Ryan
at the New Art.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I don't remember watching that movie.
Well, we did.
Ugh. Anyway, let's take a break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The secret movie today is my choice, or I made it my choice, I guess.
It should have been mine. But
it should have been?
It's fine.
Okay. Well, here we are. I chose the 1993 made-for-television psychological thriller Stalking Laura, also known as I Can Make You Love Me. It's based on a true story, the Sunnyvale ESL shooting, which occurred in 1988. It was a mass shooting. This guy obsessed with this woman showed up at her job, which he used to work at, but was fired because he was harassing her. He shows up and shoots and kills 7 people and injures 4 more.
But he wasn't fired for harassing her.
Well, technically he wasn't, because they didn't want to deal with it. But he was fired because the way the film depicts it, he threatened the HR lady. But anyway, that guy ended up getting a life sentence. So he's currently on death row. And the woman was injured, but she lived. Just overall, what did you think of this movie?
I think at a time it would have felt like something like I'm old enough to remember the early 90s, kind of sensational in a way that was also felt like there was some distance. And now this feels very prescient and standard. Like, this feels like it's funny watching this in retrospect, being like, why aren't these people fleeing? And this was before we had
active shooter drills. And, yeah.
It's just weird to think that we were so blind to this writing on the wall that was just waiting to happen the way it did.
It's a tragic event. The film, oftentimes we watch like 90s made for TV movies, and they're kind of fun because they're over the top. And they also deal with tragic things like the Casey Anthony murder, or, there've been several movies where they were kind of fun in a morbid way. This one is not that.
No, I think it takes itself seriously, and the two leads are good.
Richard Thomas really does do a good job of seeming like a creep.
Oh yeah, he's cute. He looks dehydrated. I feel like I can smell what he smells like.
And Brooke Shields is really doing a lot. But
yeah,
the story is that Brooke Shields plays Laura Black, and she's a recent graduate from UC Davis, and she's she got a job at this company called KEI in Silicon Valley. So she shows up, and like the first day she meets one of the other like software engineers named Rich Farley.
She doesn't even get to make it to lunch before.
Oh, things escalate so quickly. Rich Farley is played by Richard Thomas. They go to lunch, and before they can even get back to work, he's trying to take her on a date to some tow truck, tractor racing, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets upset when she doesn't want to go. And then he shows up early to work and breaks into her office to give her blueberry loaf. And he's it's comical how aggressive he is. He will not take no for an answer.
Yes. And, but also, this was before as the end of the film tells us, that there were anti-stalking laws. California was the first state to enact those because of this case. So,
right.
But it, so yeah, it's funny to think, like, it seems so over the top, but people were really allowed to get away with a lot.
And he's being very upfront with her. Like, if you call the police, this won't end well for you. Mm-hmm. If you tell your manager, this is going to be a problem for you. Who knows what I'll do? Everything culminates at first with Laura demanding HR do something. We need to talk about HR, but they have a meeting with him because HR agrees, like, listen, we'll tell him that he needs to go to counseling, and if he doesn't, he'll be fired. And when they tell him this, he tells HR, like, if you fire me, I'll kill you and other people, mm-hmm. like, to their face. Uh-huh. And HR even makes him clarify, like, are you saying if we fire you, you'll harm me? And he's like, yeah.
I have guns. Yeah.
Yeah. So of course he does. But in real life, he stalked Laura for years. The film truncates a lot of things, so it just seems kind of very brief that this all happens. But he ends up getting fired, getting a new job, stalking her from a distance, showing up randomly.
He's able to get a new job because the reasons that they officially put for him being let go were kind of...
His reference wasn't sullied, so he was able right. to get a new job.
It wasn't for sexual harassment, yeah.
But then she ends up getting a permanent restraining order, like court date, and that sends Richard Rich over the edge, and he goes and buys like a bunch of guns and ammunition, and then just shows up to work at KEI one day, at Laura's work. He no longer works there. And he shoots up the place.
He's carrying all these shotguns. And there's a man that one of his ex-coworkers walks out and just walks out right on by like I shouldn't.
Well, it's the guy who he told he was going to.
Yes.
So we get a scene, which apparently did happen in real life, but it wasn't as extreme, where Richard was at a bar with some coworkers after he was fired. And he's asking questions like, are these doors bulletproof?
Yeah.
Are these walls bulletproof? I'm going to come back and do something. And his ex-coworkers are like, boy, stop playing. Mm-hmm. So when his employee sees him, the one you mentioned, he's like, are you for real? But then Rich shoots and kills him. Of course, he ends up getting caught. There's a negotiator who convinces him to surrender.
That negotiator.
We need to talk about the negotiator.
He didn't do shit, really.
Bob, I'm just going to go through my notes. I think it's funny that the opening of the film is Brooke Shields, Laura, with her family talking about how she got this like major job as an engineer at this big time company. And her dad is really trying to convince her not to pursue her dreams outside of the state of Virginia.
Yep.
I found that really annoying. When Laura has to find a roommate, she meets this lady named Marianne. Mm-hmm. And Marianne's like an artist. And we see that she paints fire escapes.
She's like, yeah, I don't know. I just dig them. I dig fire escapes. She's like, and what does she say? I've sold a lot of these in my time.
My time.
Bitch, how old are you?
In my 23 years, yeah. I've sold a lot of fire escape portraits. We see Laura doing like she's at the like gym doing like a calisthenics class.
Uh-huh.
And she has on a full face.
Yep. And
in fact, most of the movie, her makeup looks kind of garish. It's very whatever happened to Baby Jane to be.
It's very white. The
her foundation's yeah. like one shade too light. And then she has like that. The placement of her blush looks like Baby Doll. Mm-hmm. Like Cherub.
Well, this was made for television, so I wonder if it's because
now that we're seeing it more in high def, you're probably right, but it really struck me when she's doing her Jane Fonda workout.
It's, you know, because the film is 93, well, it's set in the 80s, so technically the because it feels the very 80s. It's like that we didn't catch up in the 90s hadn't fully set in yet is how it feels.
So Laura, Rich has been pushing up, like every time he sees her, he's like, let's be in a relationship. Let's go on a date. Like, you have to let me take you out. And she's like, no, I don't want that. And finally he goes, you know, it's going to be really hard for us to have a relationship if you keep refusing to go out with me. Yes. And that's when you realize like, oh, he is cray cray.
Yes.
And that was pretty upsetting.
There's a song that's playing when she's doing aerobics. One of the lyrics was something like, everybody loves you when you're feeling okay.
Yeah.
What?
The music feels very early 90s made for TV. I did appreciate, though, that the film addresses why, because you initially think, well, why aren't you calling the police? Why aren't you getting someone else involved? But then we do hear Laura say, like, she's the only woman in a department of 60, like, as an engineer.
Yeah.
So she does not want to ruffle any feathers or cause any trouble. So I appreciated they put that in there, because it's like she's trying to manage this. She doesn't want to jeopardize this career.
She doesn't want to jeopardize that. And she's also pretty tenacious. She doesn't want to be a victim.
No.
You know?
No. Like, so I admired that in her, you know. But in juxtaposition to Laura is that damn HR lady.
Oh, that's a young Linda Emond. Yep.
Who is being very like dubious towards.
She seems like one of those women that's jealous really quickly.
Yeah. Well, because immediately when Laura, Brooke Shields' character, is trying to explain to the HR lady, like, this is what's happening, the HR lady gives her a look like, do you always smile at people that way? Like, bitch, it doesn't matter how I smile. This man is not supposed to be harassing me, okay?
You are a traitor to your gender, lady.
And at one point, Brooke does get mad at her, like, this situation has nothing to do with me. Well, you better check your other employee.
The Linda Emond's like, do you still do your aerobics class? And he's still following you? And she's like, yes. She's like, you might want to stop doing that for a while. Because, you know.
Because it creates an awkward situation because, you know.
You're wearing tight clothes.
Your clothes. Bitch.
So I can't work out in public?
So you want me to look like you, like a Tetris block, because this man. No. Then Rich is taking photos of Brooke. Like, he is. He is unafraid.
He's standing at the edge of her driveway.
Just yeah, he's not trying to hide. He's not trying. He's not, it's like you almost can't even say he's stalking her, because he is just full on like in her business. But he's taking pictures of her. And at one point, he like photoshops a pic, which amounts to him cutting off her head and taping it on another portrait of, so that it looks like the two of them are a couple. And the look on Brooke's face.
She's got a very pensive, fearful look. So the picture together is not.
But clearly he's mentally ill, because he doesn't see that she's disgusted by him. Okay, we need to talk about Richard Thomas. Uh-huh. What did you think of him in this role?
He does a good job. It's very uncomfortable.
I'm going to get, I know people won't like this, but it was giving Britney Spears to me. He seemed,
Britney Spears.
He kind of was acting and looking to me how she probably acts in private.
Oh, God.
Deranged and like really self-centered, like everything's happening. Everything that's happening to me is not my fault, and I'm not getting what I want. And
sure. I thought he looked a little like Charles Grodin in this.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, this is recently after his Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Which he's also in. I mean, he's still around. He's pretty consistent. He's Laura Linney's dad in the Ozark series as well.
I forgot about that. So Brooke and her roommate, Marianne, end up moving to a place because Rich finds out where she lives, and they move to a place with like much better security. And then Rich breaks into her office, digs through her trash, digs through, because a plot point that they make more than once in the film is that because the company she works for is a contractor for the federal government. So they like their security clearance is a big deal. And they keep talking about how she needs her level 5 security clearance or whatever. Uh-huh. So she has her application in her desk. So when Richard breaks in, he has access to all of her business, all her family's business. So he then threatens her with that information, which is really creepy. But when he's digging through her trash, he sees like a tissue that she used to blot her lipstick.
Uh-huh.
And he's clutching to it like, I don't know. It's just all so creepy.
Which reminded me of Isabelle Huppert sniffing the semen soaked Kleenex in Piano Teacher.
Oh my, I don't even remember that.
Oh my God, it's so good.
But do you recall Laura's application? And her handwriting?
Yes.
I thought she had handwriting like a 7th grade girl.
Yes.
How are you a grown-ass female engineer And you're writing, it almost looked like if we had more time with that application, we would see she dots her I's with a little heart. The therapy they send Rich's care or Rich to is called Project Concern. Okay, there's a scene where Laura is at a bar with her coworkers and she goes into the women's restroom to like powder her nose, and Rich like runs in there and like attacks her, not physically, but he's threatening her. Like, he is very,
he's bold.
That's the word. And it's scary because he is being so bold and all the warning signs are there and there's still nothing anyone can do.
He's still supported by the culture. Like, yeah. His behaviors are sanctioned as kind of normal, and that's how boys act, kind of bullshit.
This is why these laws are important, because this man, according to this movie, was acting, he was living out loud.
Yep.
And but I mean, there was nothing she felt she could do, which is crazy.
She had to move to a place with higher security, yeah. Which was kind of funny because it doesn't seem like all that much. But
no, it's just like two wrought iron gates. So then Laura starts dating this guy named Sam, and they're at a restaurant one day, and he's telling her like, oh, you know, you should get a restraining order, blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, he hasn't really contacted me in a while and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden Rich shows up at the restaurant. And Sam gets up like he was going to do something. I thought that was funny. And then we cut to a scene where Sam's trying to give Brooke, Laura, a handgun, telling her that no jury would ever convict her of killing him on her own property. But yeah, I was like, does she need a permit for that gun? And
yeah, she needs to.
I don't know if this is the best. Okay, so when Rich shows up at KEI, you already alluded to the first person who walks past him, but everything is happening almost like in slow motion, which I thought was really creepy. And the look on his face, it's just very upsetting.
Yeah, he looks like he's having a good time.
Then Laura's boss, the actor who played Moesha's dad.
Moesha.
There's an active shooter in the building. People have been shot and killed. Police are everywhere. And his black ass shows up, and what does he do? Run into the building.
He runs into the building, and there's a man, you know, he's being heroic. He drags this bleeding man into a bathroom and then hides there, and then ends up getting shot. Why don't you try to leave?
Yeah, why would you run back in there?
Snatch him up and try to go.
But a funny moment before that even happens is the cops are telling, like, the one lead in detective is like, don't let him go in there. So he's telling the other cops, stop that man. And the effort the one cop made to stop him was minimal. Oh, and it's funny when you watch it, because he kind of like taps him on the shoulder, yeah, like, hey, excuse me. You're walking into a war zone. They barely try to stop him. So when Rich gets into the building and he starts shooting and killing people, he does find Laura and he shoots her in the shoulder. And then he lets her go. You brought up a good point. I wonder if he thought she was dead. But then I don't think so, because in the end, he's asking, is she alive? Because I want her to live.
He wants her to regret.
So she can regret what she made him do. But after he walks away and leaves her there injured, what does she do? She gets up and wanders the halls while this active shooting is going on. Like, could she not hear the gunfire? That was kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating because she didn't. It's like, you know where the stairwell is and you can hear where the gunshots are at one point. Like, get out.
Then we meet the negotiator, who I thought was giving like Ricardo Montalban, but who's not very good at his job.
No.
But when Laura, so the phone line they had established to talk, you know, Rich to the negotiator, Laura gets on that line. I don't know how. It just seems like it's the main line to the building. At first he starts yelling at her, like, get off this line. I need this line clear.
She goes, I will not get off this line. I've been shot.
Yeah, she's very assertive, which I like. And then when he realizes it's her, he calms down. But after she's on the phone with the negotiator and she's like, I think my lung was pierced. I'm having a hard time breathing. And then she faints. But then she suddenly revived. But she sees like a can of cola, like generic Coca-Cola. And she takes a swig and that seems to revive her. I thought that was funny.
Like, that was probably backwash, girl.
But yeah, you already alluded to this, but the line that Rich says, he says she can't regret it if she doesn't live. So he seems pretty preoccupied with knowing if Laura made it. And then the negotiator, who I don't think was very good at his job, is telling Rich, like, because Rich is saying, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to die today. I'm not going to jail. And the negotiator tells Rich that if he goes to jail, he can teach computers in there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a selling point, but
and
okay.
And then he goes, yeah, I could teach computers in there. What?
And then Rich is like, I need a drink. I want like a big old quart sized cup of Diet Cola with a bunch of ice and a number 26 from Togo's, which is like the ham turkey and cheese sandwich. And he says it like three times. Mm-hmm. So I want that sandwich from Togo's.
That's morbid, but all right.
Well, because they really make a big deal out of this sandwich. But yeah, so he ends up surrendering pretty easily. And then we see that he gets convicted, life, like on death row. The anti-stalking law is enacted in California first. And then I was reading a little bit of trivia, and I thought it was interesting that during the several years that Richard was stalking Laura, he had a girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
And that lady says she didn't know anything about him stalking anybody. So he kept it clean. And then when Rich went to trial, he said that he never intended to kill anyone. He actually went to the building with the intention of committing suicide in front of Laura so she would know what she did to him. Which I find hard to believe, because then why did you buy thousands of rounds of ammunition? Yeah.
Ammunition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't. Okay.
Yeah. What would you give this movie?
Like 2.5.
I would give it 2.5. I mean, it's hard. I feel weird because it's like, it's not really that fun. Like a lot of TV movies from that era are, but then the subject matter is not fun either.
Well, no, and especially considering how things have progressed and changed, and
yeah,
this is just happening, you know, every other day.
And I know I referenced the Casey Anthony or with Dean Cain.
That's Scott Peterson.
Or I'm sorry, not Casey, the Scott Peterson movie. That's what I meant to mention, the one with Dean Cain. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was a funny story. It's just that it's so crazy.
Yes.
So like watching it, we were like, oh my God, like I can't believe this movie is more serious and upsetting, but
yeah, and I like Brooke Shields.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. This might be a short one because it's been a long day for both of us.
Yeah,
and we're glad you're back.
Hours and
we need to eat dinner, yes. But we didn't want to not have a podcast this week.
Oh yes.
What do we have any screenings next week?
Yeah,
so
we have
far?
A screening tomorrow.
What is it?
Dumb Money.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I might catch up with Haunting in Venice because that opens this week.
Mm.
And then we have some screeners.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, not at the moment.
Ta-ta.